time now for Bible Talk. Join Gary Gibbs and John Bradshaw as they open the Bible to deepen our understanding of God's Word.
Hi, and welcome to Bible Talk, where we talk about the Bible and how the Bible affects us today. I'm John Bradshaw.
And I'm Gary Gibbs.
We are glad that you are with us here today on Bible Talk. Lately, we've been talking about hell. It's a hot topic. And there are a couple of major views in Christianity today about hellfire. And when you look at what the Bible says, it would indicate that we need to re-examine those views. You know, there's two major views. One view was made popular, more popular, by the late Pope John Paul II a few years ago when he issued an apostolic letter or a papal paper or whatever you would call this thing, stating that in his view, hell is an anguished state of existence eternally separated from God. No mention of heat, no mention of fire, no nothing.
I think that's what they call papal bull. A bull.
A load of papal bull. Okay. Then on the other hand, there's the other view in Christianity today that says you die, you go to hell, you burn and burn and burn and burn and burn forever. And it does not paint a very nice picture of the character of God at all. Instead, what we find in the Bible, there's not only the first death people die as a result of accident or disease, but a second death, hellfire, that reduces people to ashes and blots them out of existence. It paints a better picture of God. Now, somebody said to me one day, look, there's those couple of verses in the Bible that say forever. We've looked at them in our last Bible Talk program, two, you know, really, there's just only two. And seen in context and comparing that word forever with other places in the Bible, we see it just means for as long as it lasts. Guy said to me, well, I don't know, maybe this idea does make God seem worse, that is, burning forever. But if God wants to do this, he could do this. And you could take that logic, if you like, and say, well, sure, if God wanted to, he could, but he doesn't want to, and he wouldn't. There are certain things God can't do. He can't lie, can't sin, and this would be a heinous act. God is incapable of inflicting abject cruelty upon people because God is love and God is not cruel.
This is a topic I think that is probably more confused, more misunderstood than any other topic in the Bible. And we've been covering this over several programs. And I want to invite you, our listener, to write or call us at the number, the address we'll give at the end of this program and get our free offer. Is the devil in charge of hell? You don't want to miss this. You want to get this and look at all the different angles the Bible covers this topic with. John, we need to look at the other side of this. If we've talked about how hell turns people into ashes, that it is a literal fire, it is a punishment for sin. But if we believe that hellfire starts right now, that it starts right now, as soon as a person dies, they go into hellfire and they start burning endlessly forever and ever, it really kind of messes up the timeline that's depicted in prophecy. Because why then would you need a return of Christ, a second coming? Why would you need the great white throne judgment where all the wicked of the ages are brought before the great white throne and they are thrown into hellfire at the same time? Let's talk about that timeline there in Revelation. Jesus introduces it here, actually, in the book of John, chapter 5.
Yeah, let's look at that because it kind of answers and asks the question, asks and answers, when does hell take place? John 5, verse 28, we've all heard of the idea of the resurrection. Now, contemplate this with some carefulness, please. John 5, verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. This is verse 29 now. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Two resurrections. The resurrection of life, resurrection of damnation. Now, we'll show you from the Bible in a moment, and it'd be pretty obvious. The resurrection of life is the resurrection that takes place when Jesus comes back.
I think that it's important to note here first is resurrection. Resurrection to get life or resurrection to receive damnation. That means that people don't receive their rewards upon their first death when they die of old age, of disease, whatever it might be. No, they're going to wait in the graves, because Jesus says all who are in the graves will hear his voice and will come forth. They'll either come forth to receive eternal life or to receive condemnation or damnation.
In Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, looking into the future, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Now notice, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Two resurrections, just like John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. The resurrection of life, they that have done evil, conversely unto the resurrection of damnation.
Now, when do we receive this? Let's break these down. When do the righteous come forth in the resurrection of life?
Okay, well, let the Bible answer the question. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, that sleep, that's a code word, right? It means what?
It means death.
Yeah, sure. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all remain dead, but we shall all be changed. And now, if you doubt that, remember Stephen at the end of Acts chapter 7, he was stoned with stones. He fell asleep. His spirit went to God. He died. Okay, back up a bit on this verse. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. At the last trump. Well, there's the answer there. We shall be changed at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This takes place when Jesus returns.
Now, that's the same trumpet mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 4:16.
Oh, it absolutely is. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise what?
Rise first.
Okay, first. First indicates there's something else coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm first, then someone second. The dead in Christ will rise first in the first resurrection. You see, that's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, this is like a little P.S. put on the end of this, on the end of this chapter. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Man, that's a great passage. And it shows that when Jesus Christ returns, the sleeping saints rise in the first resurrection to receive their reward. The wages of sin, death, but the gift of God, this is what they're receiving, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When Jesus returns, immortality is conferred upon the sleeping saints. They come forth from the grave to receive life. That's the first of the two resurrections.
That's going to be a wonderful day. If you've ever laid a loved one to rest in the grave, if you've laid a child in the grave, a spouse, a grandmother, a mother, or a father, you'll be reunited with that person in the resurrection. If you've given your life to Jesus and they were committed followers of Christ, they'll come up in the vigor of youth, and you'll know them, and you'll get to live with them forever and ever and ever. I tell you, we need to be giving our hearts to Jesus each and every day so that we're ready for that first resurrection.
That's such a hopeful, hopeful thought that Jesus is coming back. He has a resurrection of life, and he wants you to be part of it. We're going to offer you a study guide at the end of this program. You'll get an email address. You get a telephone number. It's called The Ultimate Deliverance. The Ultimate Deliverance. Christ is going to come back, and there are wonderful blessings promised to the believer, including the gift of life at the first resurrection. Be sure and contact us. Ask for The Ultimate Deliverance. We want to give that to you.
So, John, when Jesus comes back, we've just read here in 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ rise. They rise with new bodies. We who are alive and remain also have a change. Our bodies are changed, and we receive immortal bodies. We rise to meet the Lord in the air, it says. We don't meet him on this earth.
No, that's correct.
We rise to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He takes us back to heaven. What happens to all of the unsaved people who are either in their graves or alive on the planet when Jesus comes?
I'm going to read in Revelation chapter 20 that great passage that talks about the millennium. See, what happens is this: Jesus returns, he gathers the saints, he wakes the sleeping saints, gathers the living saints, takes them to heaven. They're there for 1,000 years. The millennium takes place. Mm-hmm. During that time, the sleeping wicked remain in their graves. They don't know anything about what has gone on above them. They're asleep in the ground, out of it, and they're going to stay that way till after the millennium. the living wicked are destroyed by the brightness of Christ's return, and they are dead on the earth. In fact, now, Jeremiah describes them in Jeremiah, I believe it's chapter 25, as being like dung on the earth, like fertilizer on the earth. They're struck dead by the brightness of Jesus coming. It makes sense. They cannot stand to be in the presence of such a holy God. That's what happens to them during the 1,000 years.
And 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9 says that when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire and goes on to be glorified in those who love God, it says that he'll also punish with everlasting destruction the wicked. And so while the righteous are being glorified and changed, going back to heaven with God, the wicked are actually being destroyed by the brightness of Jesus' return. Okay, so we have the earth vacated. All the living wicked are dead. The dead wicked are not resurrected. The earth is vacated. We're in heaven. How long does this take place? How long do we stay in heaven? How long do the wicked remain dead?
Now, that's the 1,000 years. The earth is vacated except for the devil and his evil angels. They're going to be here on the earth during Revelation's 1,000 years. You read about that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. Now we go on to verse 5. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This says they're going to live again. The wicked will live again. It mentions this is the first resurrection, referring to what happened before that. Blessed and holy is he that hath part on the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they'll be priests of God, and Christ will reign with them 1,000 years. Then when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan goes out of his prison. He deceives the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. There's living folks on the earth again. Why? Because the wicked have been raised in the second resurrection. The Bible calls it the resurrection to damnation.
This is the final judgment when they come up all together. They stand before the throne of God, and God reveals to them why they are not going to receive eternal life.
And can you imagine the picture? You've got all of the living saints inside the city and all of the lost outside the city. What a picture, man.
And at this point in time, they have rushed up against the city, and it's God's final demonstration that if you allow these people to live, they would destroy everything that is good. They would rip God off the throne. And that's why God can't allow the wicked to live. And it's at that point, Revelation 20:11, that we have the great white throne judgment, and the books, the record books of their lives, condemns them. And then that's when God allows them to be burned and destroyed in the fires of hell, and they perish, never to live again.
At that time, it's just too late for people to repent. But aren't you glad? And aren't you glad, Gary, that today it's not too late? It's not too late for us. It's not too late to receive salvation or to repent of the sins that we commit against God from day to day.
God is so merciful. If we come to him today, he will accept us, he'll come into our hearts, and he'll give us eternal life.
The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. And there's no need for us to, because we can have faith in Jesus Christ, the life giver. Thanks for being with us today. We look forward to seeing you here next time on Bible Talk. If you'd like more information on what we've been studying today, we have a comprehensive Bible study guide we'd love to share with you that's absolutely free. This study includes many of the texts we've just discussed and expands on the subject, including information you'll want to know. To receive this free informative Bible study guide, simply call, write, or email and ask for The Ultimate Deliverance. The toll-free number is 866-BIBLE-SAYS. That's 866-242-5372. You can write to us at Bible Talk, P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California 95678. That's P.O. Box 1058, Roseville, California 95678. Or email us at BibleTalk@lifetalk.net. BibleTalk@lifetalk.net. Bible Talk has been produced in association with Amazing Facts in the studios of Life Talk Radio.